everyone. Welcome back to the AI Hardware Show. I'm your host, Skylar Monroe, and this is the show where we dig into the silicon, the systems, and the supply chains powering the AI revolution. Quick shout out to our sponsors, Limitless AI, helping businesses actually integrate AI into their workflows in a meaningful way, and Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development consulting. All right, we've got a packed episode today. NVIDIA chips heading to China, TSMC crushing revenue numbers, and a major crackdown on AI chip smuggling. Let's get into it. Okay, first story, and this one is genuinely wild when you think about the context. The U.S. government has approved a license allowing ZTE, the Chinese telecom giant, to purchase NVIDIA H200 AI chips. Yes, that ZTE, the same company that's been on and off various U.S. trade restriction lists for years. And now they're joining a pretty notable club, Alibaba, Tencent, ByteDance, all of whom have also been cleared to access Hopper generation technology. So let's break down what's actually happening here. The H200 is NVIDIA's current flagship data center GPU built on the Hopper architecture. And when I say flagship, I mean it. This chip is a beast. It pairs the same GH100 compute die as the H100, but swaps out the memory for HBM3E, which dramatically increases memory bandwidth. We're talking around 4.8 terabytes per second of memory bandwidth. For AI inference and large language model training, memory bandwidth is often the limiting factor, so that upgrade is not trivial. Now, the Hopper generation was originally restricted for export to China in late 2022. That's when the US government started getting serious about preventing advanced AI compute from flowing to Chinese entities. NVIDIA had to pivot and create export-compliant chips, the H800 and eventually the H20, which were significantly cut-down versions. The H20 in particular was interesting because it kept some of the memory bandwidth but throttled the compute interconnect, so it was still useful for inference workloads but not ideal for large-scale training clusters. So the fact that full H200s are now being licensed to Chinese companies, including ZTE specifically, is a meaningful policy shift. And it comes in the context of a broader thaw between the US and China on trade. Following the Trump-Xi meeting, we'll talk about more in a later story. But here's the thing, and this is the nuance that matters. Even with the license approved, there are real questions about how much of this actually translates into chips in Chinese data centers. Chinese domestic procurement initiatives are pushing companies to favor homegrown silicon wherever possible. There's real political pressure inside China to not be seen buying American chips. And frankly, the domestic chip ecosystem, Huawei's Ascend line, Cambricon, More Threads has been advancing. Not at the same level as NVIDIA, but advancing. So the market impact of this ZTE license might be more symbolic than transformative. Still, it signals something. The conversation around export controls is shifting, and that matters for every company in this supply chain. All right, let's pivot to story 2 and 3 together, because they're really two sides of the same coin. Both involve TSMC, which is basically the backbone of the entire AI chip industry. First, TSMC's Q2 earnings came in with revenue up 36% year over year. That is a stunning number for a company of TSMC's size. We're talking about the largest contract chip maker on the planet, posting growth rates that most startups would envy. So why is TSMC growing so fast? Three letters, AI. The demand for advanced silicon for AI training and inference workloads has been relentless. NVIDIA's H100s, H200s, the Blackwell B200s, all fabbed at TSMC, Google's TPUs, TSMC, Apple's M-series and A-series chips, TSMC, Amazon's Trainium and Inferentia chips, TSMC, AMD's MI300 series, TSMC. When you're the world's most advanced semiconductor foundry and AI is the hottest technology sector in human history, you're going to have a very good quarter. And let's give credit where it's due. TSMC's process technology leadership is not an accident. Their N3 node, which is their 3-nanometer class process, and now N2 on the horizon, these represent years of incredibly difficult engineering. We're talking about transistors so small that we're measuring them in atoms. The gate-all-around transistor architecture in N2 is a fundamental change to how the transistor is physically constructed. This isn't just incremental improvement, it's a rethinking of the basic building block of every chip. The reason TSMC dominates AI chip making specifically is that AI accelerators need the highest transistor density possible to pack more compute into a given die area. More transistors means more CUDA cores or tensor cores or systolic array elements, whatever the accelerator uses, and that directly translates to more teraflops of AI compute. So TSMC's process leadership is directly correlated to AI performance leadership. They're not just a manufacturer, they're a strategic asset. The headline question around TSMC earnings was whether they could rescue the AI chip trade, which is a bit of dramatic framing, but the underlying concern is real. There's been volatility in AI chip stocks, questions about export control impacts, and general macro uncertainty. TSMC's strong numbers essentially serve as a real-world data point that AI infrastructure spending is still very much on. Hyperscalers are still spending. Cloud providers are still spending. Cloud providers are still building. The demand signal from TSMC's fab utilization is about as real as it gets. Now, story three is the other side of the TSMC and NVIDIA picture, and it gets into some genuinely cloak-and-dagger territory. NVIDIA has been aggressively culling its list of authorized customers in Asia, specifically to combat AI chip smuggling. And we're not talking about a small trim. Reports indicate they cut more than half of their existing verified client list. That is a dramatic move. So what's been happening? NVIDIA chips, particularly H100s and H200s, have been showing up in China despite export restrictions. And the way that happens is through a network of intermediaries, shell companies, front businesses, third-party resellers, who purchase chips legitimately in places like Singapore, Malaysia, or elsewhere in Southeast Asia, and then route them into China through unofficial channels. It's sophisticated, it's profitable, and it's been a real headache for both NVIDIA and the US government. The pressure from Washington has been significant. U.S. officials have been pushing NVIDIA hard to take responsibility for where its chips end up, not just where they're sold directly. And so NVIDIA has responded by tightening up the verification process dramatically. We're talking about field inspectors physically visiting data centers. We're talking about phone calls to customers to verify the legitimacy of their operations. Basically, NVIDIA is doing due diligence that goes well beyond what most companies do at the point of sale. And cutting more than half the verified customer list is significant. Think about what that means operationally. You're telling more than half of your existing partners in that region, we need to re-verify you or we can't sell to you. That's a bold move. It will slow some sales in the short term. It will create friction with legitimate customers who are now caught up in a more rigorous vetting process. But the alternative, being seen as complicit in circumventing your own country's export controls, is a much worse outcome for NVIDIA. There's also a broader strategic dimension here. If NVIDIA chips keep showing up in Chinese AI clusters in violation of export rules, there's real risk that Washington tightens restrictions further, not just on China, but potentially globally. The last thing NVIDIA wants is stricter controls that cut into their legitimate international business. So, in a weird way, NVIDIA cracking down now is self-protective. Keep the existing rules workable by actually enforcing them, rather than inviting even harsher regulations. And from a technical standpoint, this is a reminder of just how valuable these chips are. An H100 at peak market pricing has sold for well over $40,000 on the secondary market, an H200 even more. When individual chips are worth that much, you create serious economic incentive for smuggling. It's not unlike rare earth materials or other high-value commodities. Wherever there's a supply-demand imbalance and a regulatory restriction, you'll get a gray market. NVIDIA and the US government are essentially playing whack-a-mole with a very sophisticated gray market. Okay, last story, and this one ties back to our first story, but adds a lot more color. US officials have confirmed that the first NVIDIA H200 AI GPU shipments are actually headed to China now, roughly 2 months after the Trump XI meeting. And this is significant because it represents the first tangible hardware outcome of what was a high-level diplomatic conversation about tech trade. The Hopper story in China has been, as one report put it, a roller coaster. When Hopper launched, the US had already started tightening export controls. NVIDIA created the H880 as a compliant variant, same die, but with the chip-to-chip interconnect NVLink throttled down below the threshold that triggered export restrictions. Then when the US tightened rules again in late 2023, even the H800 got restricted, and NVIDIA pivoted to the H20, which was a much more significantly cut down product. The H20 was interesting because it actually kept pretty competitive memory bandwidth, HBM memory with decent throughput, but the compute density and interconnect were severely limited. Chinese AI companies found it useful for inference workloads, particularly for large language model inference where memory bandwidth can be the bottleneck, but for training large frontier models, not really in the running. It was a compromised chip for a compromised market situation. So now actual H200s, full Hopper generation chips with HBM3E memory, are shipping to approved Chinese buyers. That's a meaningful step up from what was available to them through official channels. And the timing, 2 months after a major diplomatic meeting between the leaders of the two largest economies in the world, is not a coincidence. This is economic diplomacy expressed in Silicon, but I want to add some nuance here, because I think the headline can be a little misleading. The list of approved buyers is still restricted. ZTE, Alibaba, Tencent, ByteDance, these are specific licensed entities. It's not an open market. The export control framework is still very much in place. This is approved access within that framework, not a dismantling of the framework. The difference matters, and circling back to a point I made in the first story, Chinese domestic pressure to use homegrown chips is real. There's a national initiative to move government and state-affiliated procurement toward domestic silicon. For companies like Alibaba and Tencent, buying NVIDIA chips even when licensed can create optics issues domestically. So the demand may not be as strong as the license availability suggests. It's a complicated geopolitical chess match, and the hardware is literally the piece being moved around the board. What I find fascinating from a purely technical perspective is the signal this sends about the relative capability gap. The fact that Chinese AI firms, even with Huawei Ascend and other domestic options available, still want H200s badly enough that it's part of a diplomatic negotiation tells you something about where the capability gap actually stands. Domestic Chinese silicon has improved, but the hunger for NVIDIA's best stuff is real. That's a testament to just how dominant NVIDIA's architecture and software ecosystem still is. The CUDA ecosystem, especially decades of developer tooling, libraries, frameworks, and optimizations built on top of CUDA, is not something you replicate quickly. Chips are hardware, but the software moat around NVIDIA is arguably just as important as the silicon itself. Chinese companies know this, their engineers know this, and it's why, even with political pressure to go domestic, H200s are still a diplomatic bargaining chip. Literally and figuratively. All right, that's a wrap on today's episode. What a week in AI hardware, export licenses, smuggling crackdowns, TSMC posting massive revenue numbers, and the geopolitics of chip trade playing out in real time. This space genuinely never stops being fascinating. Check the link in show notes for more details on all of today's stories. The AI Hardware Show, brought to you by Limitless AI and Ago Consulting. Ah, Go, your partners in AI integration and silicon development. If you found this episode valuable, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and share it with someone who geeks out on this stuff as much as we do. I'm Skylar Monroe. We'll see you next time.